Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Good morning, Philip.
It's good to see you. What's new with you?
I don't know. I'm thinking. You got it's me business, off business. Guard again.
Business as usual?
Business as usual, yes. I'm very happy, I will tell you. I'm doing something I had never done before in my priesthood, which is to put together a new faith formation program, because we have a new institution, Siena Catholic Schools of Racine, taking care of the school. So I thought it was an opportunity and for us to be more responsible for our faith formation program. And I've been very engaged with it, and I'm very happy. And there are some things about faith formation that, because we always had a DRE that I didn't have to do, and I'm very engaged now with a group of people to put it together. And it's going well.
And you put together a very good promotional piece about that, a video.
Did you see it?
That I've seen, yes. I've seen it online, which is good in that it was getting out there and that we hadn't talked about
it
before.
So you saw it and
you
never told me about it.
It was excellent,
of course. I like feedback.
Okay,
so that's the hobby I have, video recording, and I love video editing. And I told you that your parish, which is a little wealthier than mine, I told you they could hire us if they wanted.
That's right. I just made a note. We have to have a discussion about
that.
Very good. We're starting our main group of parish meetings now this week. I have a common meeting night that I designed a number of years ago that brings together the main committees in each of the parishes, and really enjoy it. So everyone gets together, and this is the first time that we're doing that. So it really feels like the year has started off now this week.
Here we are, two guys and a gospel. This is the one speaking, the one with an accent, Father Ricardo Martin, Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese and pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine.
And I'm Father Philip Bugacki. I'm the pastor of Christ King and St. Bernard parishes in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, which is in the Milwaukee area.
For this week, we are still reading Mark, or we are back to Mark, which is the gospel we read this year. And we are reading from chapter 8, verses 27 to 35.
Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly, and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it."
It's a gospel that we find in Matthew also, but it's about identity, as we've discussed so many times. Sometimes when we read this gospel, either in Matthew or in Mark, we only read one part, the first part about you are the Christ, Peter looks great, but then we get to read the second part here also when Jesus rebukes Peter, because Peter seems to not accept the fact that this Jesus, this Christ, this Messiah, is actually a suffering one. It's the first time that he tells them that I have to suffer. And that seems to be a difficulty to match with the idea they had of the Messiah.
This is that turning point in Mark's gospel. I mentioned last week, I erroneously said it was a few weeks from now, but in fact, it's already this week in this reading where Jesus, who's been known as a prophet now things start to turn as his identity as the Messiah is being more clearly affirmed, and he's being more accepting of people knowing that. He acknowledges it, but he still prohibits people from saying it to avoid confusion, just to avoid that confusion, which is really, I think, a lesson that relates to teaching sometimes. Mm-hmm. To say, you know, as we teach people things, you start at a certain point. We feed a baby, you don't start with solid meats, but you start with milk and that which is a little easier to digest. And I think that's what's happening here.
I want to make a reference to this summer. You remember the 5 weekends that we read the Bread of Life discourse that is so difficult to preach at some point. But see, it's the same thing. It's about identity. Jesus performs the miracle of the multiplication of fish and bread, and everything is fine because Jesus has fed the people. He has given them what they wanted. When he explains why he did it, and he says, I did it because I'm the Son of God and I'm the Messiah. I'm giving you spiritual purpose and everything. That's when problems begin. So that's why I think this is important, because in a different way, Mark is doing the same thing here. Jesus is telling to his disciples exactly who he is. And that's not an easy teaching for them. Obviously, you can see by Peter's reaction that culturally that was very difficult to accept and understand.
Peter reveals an important question that I think deserves answering, that I'll be honest, I have probably skipped over thinking about this in the past. But is it possible to affirm Jesus' identity but to get it wrong? You know, so is it possible for us as well to affirm a belief in Jesus Christ, to affirm who he is, to literally to hear what he says here, but still to get it wrong? You know, as I think that's what Peter is doing here is, you know, maybe he's got part of it, but he's denying aspects of Christ, in particular the aspect of suffering. And have you ever thought
about
that?
Of course, we can, and it's a very modern thought. Let me bring it to today. How many different ideologies we have in the Catholic Church, because we are a welcoming church, so you have people in the left, people on the right, people in the middle, people that feel this way, that way. And then each group seems to tend to take the image of Jesus and bring it to the place where it's most comfortable for them. That happens also with the image of God. Jesus is God also. So, but it's the same idea, no? Those who push for lots of rules and lots of purity rules and rituals and an emphasis on norms. Now that you are a canon lawyer, you know that. Mm-hmm. They will see Jesus as a judge, maybe, or God as a judge. I think we all do that.
And maybe it's me. Maybe I'm unique in this. Sometimes I can think about identity of Jesus in terms of black and white. Mm-hmm. It's kind of yes or no. I know who he is or I don't. I accept him or I don't. And with a little bit of gradation. But Peter's response here, again, has really spoken to me in opening up the reality that sometimes we're more mixed on that than we might admit, and we might get things wrong. And that's me included.
I have an allergy to this images of Jesus, oh, my friend, even though he calls us friends. So it's, you know what I mean, that to soften Jesus, to avoid the suffering, to avoid the rougher chapters, episodes in the gospel, the cleansing of the temple, to take character, temperament out of Jesus. I have a trouble with this, for instance.
We might call that a beige vision of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, Bishop Robert Barron, that's kind of his passion, as he speaks about sometimes the way that we've taught the faith, but that beige vision of Jesus, that soft vision, which just isn't who he is. He's a very, very dynamic individual.
So once again, you fixed what I was saying, is the soft Jesus. I think Jesus is a strong person. And I think that's the image that I seem to agree with. But we need to be challenged by other images. Jesus here is challenging his disciples I am the Christ, and that's true, and it's good that Peter recognizes this, but a Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, which is the meaning of Christ in English. But again, he tells his disciples for the first time, but a suffering one. And then we go into all this idea of denying yourself and taking up your cross.
Well, which I've always found so very powerful. And you've heard me say this in different ways, but here's another one of those times in the Gospels where Jesus says, this is what you need to do to follow me. He doesn't ask. He doesn't negotiate. He doesn't say a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He said, both of your feet need to be here. It's a total commitment to the Gospels, mm-hmm. what's called for. An authentic, full commitment is what's called for. Now, none of us is perfect in that, but it's fully saying yes and saying, I can do these things that Jesus has asked, and then he's going to take me along the rest of the way.
I also want to think a little bit more about this idea of denying yourself. So I have to admit, I don't think I'm a selfish person, but I am a self-centered person in the sense that I want to learn. You know what I'm trying to say, that we are in the center of our lives. That's true. This is mm-hmm. who we are. I don't think Jesus is asking us to dilute ourselves in you know, that we are who we are, and we have to grow, and we have to do things and live with intensity. But deny yourself, what does that mean? Does it mean that I deny myself? In what sense? I think it's important to really discern and pray about what that really means.
I think that could be understood different ways. Mm-hmm. I think the way that you are hearing deny oneself is a little different than I would think of denying oneself of something, mm-hmm. denying oneself of pleasures, denying oneself of... I think you're actually speaking a little bit differently of it.
It's not what it says.
Okay, yeah.
If it said deny yourself of things, I think it would say that. It says deny yourself. What does that mean? I think it's such a powerful sentence that I don't have an answer. I think we need to reflect about it. It's a great topic for prayer. Deny yourself. For me, it means that you don't think first about you, that you think first about others. But it doesn't mean that you deny your personality or that you put yourself down. I don't think that that's the real meaning of denying yourself. Do you know what I mean?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I've learned something from you and a different take on that. Mm. I think for my whole life, I've understood deny oneself a little bit differently in saying, well, it's sacrifice. It's denying oneself.
I think it's an English thing now that I'm thinking. Deny, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And you're right in your interpretation. I'm right in a possible interpretation. We just don't have access right in front of us, so we'd have to go back to the Greek.
But the Spanish can help us. It says negarse a sí mismo, deny yourself. It doesn't say deny things from you. I think it's an interesting one. So sometimes, like I tell my parishioners, sometimes a homily is more a question than an answer.
Sure.
We are used to homilies giving us answers to things, and sometimes I tell them that's the question for you and for me. So I think that's one of the questions in this gospel.
That's a possible direction I'm going to preach, is that question, who do you say that I am? That just is the fundamental question of Christianity for us as Christians, for anyone who wants to follow Christ, who do you say that I am? So we always need to repropose that. So that's a possible focus I might take for this particular weekend.
And I agree with that focus. I think that's what it needs to be. What this gospel, we found it different times and the same concept in different gospels also. You could also go through some of the images of Christ that people have in your congregation, and you could discuss them, the ideological Christ, the soft Christ, the judge, the punisher, the Christ that becomes like a moral police officer. You could do that also. But I'm fascinated with this question we dealt with today, you and I, the idea of what does it mean to deny oneself. So we'll see what happens, but that's what's catching my attention today.
And that's where we benefit from others too. Just a little more research. I know that I'm going to go home and check a couple places too for a little bit of different interpretation of that. So if you're looking for Mass this weekend, please go somewhere, the parish in your neighborhood, or you can also check archmill.org. That's the Archdiocese of Milwaukee's website.
And we're very thankful for our followers, for the people who listen, and we are very moved by the many messages and support that we receive.
All right. So I'll see you next week.
See you, Philip.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.